everyone. Welcome to the inaugural episode of the Community Legacy League Recap. This is episode one. I am one of your legacy players here. My name is Patrick. You may know me from Leaving a Legacy. And with me on the call today, I have a few of our players in the league. We have the grandfather of the league itself, the guy who kind of started it up for us. Danny, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
It's going, man. It's going. And we also have Tom on the call. What's going on, man?
Not much. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going really well. This being our inaugural episode, there are probably a lot of listeners out there who, first of all, don't know who we are, so I figure we can kind of go down and have a brief introduction of each of us. So, Danny, why don't you lead us off there, man?
All right, cool. So, my name is Danny. I've been playing Magic since, Odyssey and Invasion was the first sets I bought into. I played Kitchen Table Magic purely all the way up until about M15. And then my friend decided to invite me to FNM, and I played Standard all the way till the end of BFZ, and I decided that I kind of wanted to get into this Legacy thing because it seemed pretty cool. The deck seemed pretty wild, so I'm a Infect player at heart. I play Infect in every format that I can.
Awesome. So I didn't realize you just got into Legacy fairly recently then.
Yeah. I started playing... I went to Grand Prix New Jersey in 2014, and that was like my first introduction to what Legacy is. I didn't play in the main event. I just played in the side events. But man, it seemed so cool. I was watching like this Elves player go nuts, and I was like, I have got to play this. So I actually built Dredge at first.
Yep.
And I played Dredge for a little while, and as I got into the format, I decided to get online because I don't have a lot of time to play Paper Magic. So I built Dredge on there and then slowly started working my way, and I found Infect is, oh man, that deck is brutal.
So do you, now let me ask you something, because this is always a discussion I like to have with people. Do you consider Infect an aggro deck or a combo deck?
I consider it both.
Yeah.
It's in a weird spot in the metagame because it can be a control deck when you need it to be. It can be a aggro deck. And it can just be a straight combo deck. So it really depends on the matchup and your opening hand.
Sure.
And like what role you're going to play.
Nice. Hey, Tom, you want to kind of give us a little introduction with you, man?
Sure. I'm from Bent Salem, which is just basically Philadelphia suburbs. Been playing Magic since Urza's Block.
So oh, wow.
I go way back. I just decided to just build some random block constructed deck. It was like a monstrosity with a Mother of Runes and Phyrexian Negator. And that format was just awful pile of trash. Somehow managed to like top 8 a PTQ with it, and I was just absolutely hooked on the game from there forward. That's where, you know, my handle comes from for Moto. I didn't get into Legacy until about 2.5 years ago. But every other format I was playing before that. So the game's just always been great. But the last couple of years, I just think Legacy is by far the best format. So I've been sticking with that.
Nice. And I know you for playing Hex Depths, and you personally torment me on Magic Online. But are there any other Legacy decks you play in paper or online?
Believe it or not, in tournaments, no. I just enjoy playing my deck.
Yeah.
I've been lucky enough to do well enough with my deck that I've basically been able to build almost the entire Legacy format online.
Mm-hmm.
So basically with friends and in the testing room, I'll run basically anything just to get a feel for how the decks run to try and understand matchups better.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes time to actually play for real, I just enjoy playing my deck too much.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. My name is Patrick. I started playing Legacy... Well, let's see. I started playing Magic back in Tempest. That was my first block that I played. For me, it was all Kitchen Table from, like, 97 through, I don't know, when I graduated high school in 2003, when I last played. I put it down all while I was in college, and then back in 2014, the beginning of the year, a friend of mine convinced me to start playing Magic again. So I started with the Born of the Gods block. I was doing draft and played a lot of Standard, and then later that year, my youngest son was born, and so that kind of cut into my free time, and so I kind of sold out all my Standard stuff. I was thinking about getting into Modern, but it just really didn't catch my fancy, and then actually heard this podcast, Leaving a Legacy, which is on mtgcast.com, which is where you'll find this episode, and I was just totally hooked. Legacy sounded like such a cool format. I love the fact that it didn't rotate. The price to buy in made it a little tough at first, but I was able to kind of work my way through that with just being a really active trader on Puka Trade and starting off with like a burn deck and turning it into a blue-red Delver deck and then going to like Grixis Delver from there and then building a few other decks after that. But yeah, I really, really enjoy the format. I'm actually from, I grew up in Rhode Island. I live in Massachusetts now, so I'm in kind of this really nice hub for Legacy. I can catch, you know, local paper tournaments probably 3 or 4 times a week, you know, less than an hour away. So we're very fortunate where we live here. There's weekly events less than you know 20 minutes from where I live, so it's pretty great. As far as what kind of decks I like to play, I'm known for playing a lot of Blue Red Delver. That's for some reason that's the deck I just keep coming back to. I really enjoy that deck. I've played Burn a little bit here and there. I've been playing Eldrazi more recently because it was just it's been a good deck for a little while now. And I dabbled with Grixis Delver, but Blue Red was definitely where my heart is. So. But anyway, let's move on, Danny. Let's tell these people kind of about what the Community Legacy League is, sort of, you know, why you decided to start it up, and you know, what kind of players would enjoy it, stuff like that.
All right, cool. So the Community Legacy League is a free-to-play 3-tier MTGO Legacy tournament circuit. We host 3 levels of tournaments. The lowest tier is the weekly 4-round events. These are held every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's basically like your FNM. It's a 4-round tournament. The top 4 actually receive prizes from Card Hoarder, who was great in picking us up and sponsoring us. So the top 4 each get 6 bot credits to any of the Card Hoarder bots. And one person who participates in the event but does not make top 4, gets 1 bot credit as a door prize. The second level is the quarterly championships. These are held 4 times a year, and there's 50 bot credits on the line that go to the top 8. These events, again, are free to play, and you can earn buys to them by playing in the weekly events. So the weekly events will offer you points. I'm sure we can add like a show notes to the Facebook page that has the breakdown of all the points and stuff. Mm-hmm. The quarterly championships, you can get buys to them. And then, if you make top 8, you can get into the end of the year, Community Legacy League championship finals. That's, our biggest event. There's 100 bot credits, on the line to the top 8, and there will only be 16 competitors. So the top 16 players throughout the year will battle in a final tournament to crown the Community Legacy League champion.
That is awesome. That sounds really cool. So, and one of the neat things about it seems, is like, honestly, just showing up week after week gives you a good chance of making either making the quarters possibly, obviously if you finish in, you know, a decent place every week, anywhere in the top 8, it seems like you have a good chance of getting into that quarterly.
Yeah, and you know, the great thing about it is it's free to play to the players. I think one of the things that kind of not drives people away from MTGO Legacy, but it's expensive to like continually play in leagues over and over and over again. So it's nice that we have this, you know, community run, feels like the LGS kind of tournament.
Yeah, totally. And the cool thing about it is that like we have the Discord channel set up, so people get to talk about their games afterwards, and that's a lot of fun to sort of be like, oh man, that was a great games, and you have a chance to kind of hash it out in front of the people. And it's like you said, it's totally free to play, and so it's I actually really love the league. I've been playing it since I think the first week. I think I took a couple weeks off because my computer like just totally died on me, and I had to buy a new one. I personally love it. It's I really enjoy the league. It has a very friendly atmosphere, and you're right, it totally feels like you're playing down your local game store playing Legacy.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes MTGO can be kind of like disconnected from each other, you know what I mean? So I always liked, one of my favorite things about Magic was always being able to sit down from across from my, you know, for my opponent, talk to them a little bit, and just, you know, it's a game. It's where we're here to have fun. Mm-hmm. So sometimes on MTGO, it can feel like you're a little distant, and I feel like the league smashes that. It just, you know, you talk to your opponents in Discord. We have, you know, testing channels where people just meet up and just play games. We have, you know, the tournament series, so it's still competitive. It's just been, it's been an amazing series, and I'm so happy with it.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy it quite a bit. So now, week one just started last week. Is that correct, Dan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So week one just started up, which is pretty cool. So if you're listening to this podcast, you know, the goal of this is trying to release it every other week. So if you're listening to this, you know, we're still early in the season, so it's a great time to hop in and you know, get in some free legacy rounds and enjoy yourself there. So, Danny, how did week one go for you, man?
Week one actually went really well. I ended up taking first place. Went 4-0. I think the whole reason I won is because of the luckiest top deck versus Tom. It was the top deck of top decks. He had just made his 2020 Merit Lage, and I was like, oh, well, I'm dead. I, you know, the card drew for the turn, it was Swords of Plowshares. Yeah, I was like, oh, man. Because, like, the one thing about my Infect deck is a little different is I still run the White Splash. Mm-hmm. I've run the White Splash since I started playing the deck. I basically cut one Trop, added one Savannah, and two Rest in Peace, and two Swords of Plowshares in the sideboard. And it's been good. So that was, like, the luckiest top deck of all. I think I played you, Pat, didn't I?
Yeah, you played me in round three, and you were actually my only loss of the week. I think I ended up coming in fourth last week. And yeah, you were my only loss. You just, like, 2-0'd me very easily. And we got to do a pretty sweet counter war at the very end of game two.
That was
pretty good. Very interesting games. And it's funny, I was telling my – because every week I stream to the Community Legacy League because it's one of the only chances I really get to stream any Magic online throughout the week. So, and I also just kind of like to promote the league and interact with people that I know. It's a lot of fun. But one thing that did happen, that kind of was telling my chat, was like, I really feel like Blue-Red Delver is pretty favored against Infect. I feel like most games, we just have a lot of removal, we have a lot of aggression when we can put a clock in you pretty quickly, and I don't think I've ever really, like, I don't think I've often lost as Blue-Red Delver to Infect, and then you just straight up 2-0 me, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, Invigorate plus Berserk is an amazing combo.
It is a great combo.
Especially when you have this Force of Will backup.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. No, it was great. It was great. Tom, how did your week go, man?
It was pretty interesting, other than that Swords to Plowshare. I started off really poorly. I ended up losing game one to probably my best matchup in Legacy overall, was Manalish Dredge. I don't think it's possible to lose a match to that deck. With 10 land tutors, bog, extractions, fast combo, and discard spells that time walk them every time you cast one. Mm-hmm. But I didn't catch his Chancellor of the Annex to start the game.
Oh.
So I had a turn two, but I wanted to crop rotation first, so I crop rotated, sacking my land directly into his Chancellor trigger. And proceeded to lose that game, but won the next two games. I think I played one of your friends in the second round. You friends with Balduvian Bears?
Oh yeah, John Celso. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah. We had he was on Rug Delver. It was kind of a war. That matchup kind of is that way because they run play set of Stifles, play set of Wastelands, you know, counter magic. So we had some drawn out games that were pretty interesting. Could have gone either way. That was a really tight match. Then I played Reanimator in the third round. Got kind of lucky. He had a turn two Tidespout Tyrant. I had a turn two combo. And normally that's horrendous for my deck. Mm-hmm. But I was able to take the only instant he had out of his hand with a discard spell. So he couldn't prevent the end of turn Mariolage from killing him. And then the finals was Infect against Danny. And yeah, game three didn't go the right way.
Yeah, I had actually messed up pretty bad in that matchup. I wastelanded when I shouldn't have. I thought I could disrupt the... Oh, I forgot you had a mana floating from a Mox Diamond. And I wastelanded your... Was it Thespian Stage?
Yeah, it was... I floated a mana off the Urborg because
I
wanted to sack the Urborg to the crop rotation. So the land wasn't in play when you made your decision. And, you know, Moto with the one black floating in the bottom left-hand corner. So you didn't think I had enough mana to activate it when I did. So, tried to hit the stage, and then I made the combo, yeah.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, there that goes, and then swords.
Yeah, that game was an interesting game. Like,
yeah.
Could have gone either way. Swords wasn't your only out. You had a couple of crop rotations and a Caracas, so...
Yeah, I think at that time we had talked about I had five outs.
Yeah.
I had two crops, two swords, and one Caracas.
Yeah, so you had the five outs plus a bunch of redraws with, you know, the cantrips and everything. So it wasn't like the top deck of all top decks or anything like that.
it was no Lightning Helix, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was good though. It was a fun game.
Yeah, I did fairly well. Like I said, I came in fourth. I actually went to three games every single round, so I really had to grind out getting fourth place in the league that week, except for the round against you, Dan, where you beat me 0-2. But I played a mill deck and won 2-1. I played against Maverick and won. I think it was a really tight three games we played against Maverick. Banton, in fact, just kind of rolled over me. I never really got a clock going, and I think any counter magic war we really got into, you just sort of demolished me there. And then I played Dredge in round three. Round four, and that went to three games as well. And I think I lost game one, and definitely like my turn one Ponder got countered by Chancellor of the Annex because I completely had no idea that he had shown that in his opener. Because I usually close like the sidebar chat. I don't really ever look at that. And I'm not really used to looking at people's like revealed cards or whatever. So I definitely got my pondered counter, which didn't feel great. But a very timely Grafdigger's Cage in game two and Grafdigger's Cage in game three. Won me out there. So aggressive mulliganing and good sideboard cards helped out there. But overall, like it was a very, very fun league last week. So. While we're talking about the league, we can actually kind of move right on to the current metagame that we saw last week. And one of the things I find really remarkable about the league is that it is very even across, like, you know, aggro, combo, control decks. It seems like it's all pretty even across. What do you guys think?
I think you're very right. The only thing that I cannot believe I'm saying this. Yeah, I wish there were some Miracles players.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Typically top to me is that deck takes forever, but it really does actually help balance out the metagame, and I think right now it's super well positioned.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I think that that's one of the reasons why I don't play Eldrazi currently in the league is that I felt like when I was playing Eldrazi, I was really That deck, one of the reasons why it does well, especially in like Magic Online leagues and in paper where you're at like big tournaments, is that it definitely can prey on the Miracles deck, because I think that's a pretty favorable matchup for it. But when the deck isn't there, you just kind of get rolled over by Hexmage and other combo decks, because you just don't have you have very little interaction. Game one, you have your Wastelands and Chalices, and that's about it. And then game two and three, like you can slide your Pythian Needles, but usually Hexsteps has some answers for that, and other combo decks like Infect have answers for your right. stuff. So
yeah, because I know like for Pithing Needles, because that happens a lot on Inkmoth Nexus, I have a couple I think two Corrosion Grips and one Seal of Primordium.
Yep.
And I think I even have a Viridian Corruptor in my sideboard. I think I put it in there because I was facing a lot of the week before I was facing lots of Pithing Needles, so I added an extra Viridian Corruptor.
Yep. Yeah, it was but overall it's pretty good. I think it's probably like if I look at it a little bit more, it might be a little bit more heavy on the combo side because we see like two combo decks, then two that are considered aggro. One that's considered aggro combo, and three more that are combo control. So I mean, there's certainly a good amount of combo in the metagame there. But I think overall it's fairly balanced. Like I said, probably more Miracles could be in there, or just control decks in general. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think. Especially when we have quite a bit of Delver players. That I will say. We had like a Saltai Delver, Grixis Delver, we had the Rug Delver, we had the Blue Red Delver. So we have a decent amount of Delver players, and they kind of hold things in check because they got Force of Wills and other counter magic. So hopefully hopefully we actually get a Miracles player. I'm really hoping for one.
Yeah, I'm sure we will as the word gets out and people share this episode and. and people learn about the league, I'm sure we'll see more Miracles players in there, because there's a lot of Miracles online, so they're out there. We just got to get them in the league.
Yeah.
So were there any cards you guys think that people should be running in their sideboards to help out in this metagame?
One that stands out to me is Blood Moon.
Yeah.
Feels like that card should be basically every deck in the league, other than the occasional Death and Taxes or that random White Weenie deck that we saw.
Sure.
It seems like every deck folds to that in the entire league.
Yep. Yeah. That's definitely a card that if I owned it on Magic Online would be in my Blue Red Delver deck.
Yeah, I mean, it shuts down, like, looking at the list of decks we had, it shuts down almost every single deck besides the White Weenie deck. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, every other deck is completely susceptible to it.
Yep.
Yeah, along that line, I don't think I've seen anyone run Sneak and Show, even in the first season. I don't think I saw the deck once. So I think that would be a really... I think the same thing you were talking about with price, though. I think it's one of the most expensive decks online.
It is, yeah. I know my friend Jerry, who is one of my castmates and also plays a lot of Legacy as well, he wanted to put together Sneak and Show online. It was just so expensive. Even, like, the... You know, I have most of Black Red Reanimator for Magic Online. I actually took that through the league once, my first time ever playing the deck. And, the only thing I didn't own were Grizzlebrands and I think Lotus Petals because they were both super expensive.
Yeah, and that's another good thing about the league and having, like, you know, a fostering a community is sometimes people let you borrow cards.
Yep.
You know, for tournaments. Like, you borrow the Grizzlebrands, and I know I've borrowed a few cards a night that I played Grixis Delver.
Yep.
It's great like that.
It is really awesome. Like it really does feel like a community event. You know, I know the name of it's Community Legacy League, but it really does feel like it's a community that comes together every Wednesday and gets to jam four rounds of Legacy. It's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So were there any lists that you guys saw last week that you thought were really interesting you wanted to talk about before we head out of here?
Yeah, I think we should talk about this White Weenie aggro deck.
Cool.
It was it took the league by surprise a little bit, but like I've played against the guy who runs it quite a bit, and he's like a White Weenie master. He plays White Weenie in every format that gatherling.com offers. So he's not unfamiliar to the White Weenie strategy. It's actually like a combo-ish White Weenie. It's like a humans base. It's basically like a humans deck.
Yeah, very much so. Because he's running like Mother Ruins, but he also has a old Thalia in there. As I think maybe even new Thalia as well. Yeah, he has four copies of old Thalia, two copies of new Thalia, which is Heretic Cathar. So he's definitely playing like the Mana Denial game. But he has like some standard All Stars and Champion of the Parish, Mardu, War Reaper. He's running four Mother Runes, Thalia's Lieutenant, which is a powerhouse, Phyrexian Revoker, Aethersworn Canonist, Grand Abolisher. Some of these you may not even know like off the top of your head because they're kind of standard cards. Yeah. Hanwar, Militia Captain, Kytheod, Mirror Entity, and Weathered Wayfarer. So
that's just I really like his Mirror Entity here. I think the Mirror Entity is just the way to go way over the top.
Yeah.
And because it's a changeling, it still triggers off all of his human connections. Like Champion of the Parish still gets bigger when it enters the battlefield. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually really happy with his Mardu Woe Reaper. That card is surprisingly did well. I think I watched him play versus Dredge, and that card did some real work.
Yes, it does. It honestly, his whole deck is actually pretty sweet. He's running the four caverns, the four ghost quarters in the sideboard, which I'm not sure if the ghost quarter is just a concession to Wasteland being so expensive online.
Yeah.
And the Singleton Caracas as well, along with the Ten Plains.
Ghost quarter is actually pretty well positioned in this league, because like I said, not a lot of people run basic lands here.
Right.
So a lot of times it's just a strip mine.
Yep. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I don't mind getting my lands ghost quarter because I run four basics in the main. But like when I'm playing Eldrazi, ghost quarter is like, it's like Wastelands 5-8 against me.
Yeah. You know, yeah, like against me and Infect, I only run the one base forest.
Yep.
So if you get, you know, and a lot of times, I think, does he have path? No, he runs swords. But, you know, he might actually benefit from running some paths in there too to get some extra removal.
Yeah, his path in the sideboard.
Okay, nice. Good. Oh, yeah, his sideboard's pretty sweet. He's actually running Warping Whale, three Council's Judgment, two Pithy Needle, two Rest in Peace, one Stony Silence. One Phyrexian Revoker to make the four in the list. Oh, he's got the Mangara of Karandor combo. and one path.
I wonder why. What do you think the reason is for Stony Silence over something like Null Rod?
Probably. You know, that's a really good.
I guess if he's mono white, it probably doesn't matter.
Yeah, it probably
I think that enchantment's just slightly harder to get rid of than the artifact is.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense.
Because like, I guess it's not as susceptible to Ancient Grudge, and Ancient Grudge is pretty popular.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and like looking at his matchups, he faced a burn deck round one, so I'm actually not too surprised he lost that. Then he lost to a Lurin combo, so you know that deck just doesn't interact with Lurin, you know, especially because Thalia doesn't even the Thalia Guardian doesn't really even affect that. And then he won against Rugged Elver, and then he won against Maverick.
Yep.
So he didn't have a horrible night.
No, I think against the very fair decks he does. I think he's very favored against the fair decks actually.
Oh yeah, yeah. This deck is look at the cost of it. It doesn't look like it costs all that much. I mean, he does have four caverns, and those cards are pretty expensive. But...
Right. Yeah. Probably the caverns are the most on this whole list. I'd say the caverns, and it's got to be those.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because, and he's smart. He has a small equipment package. He has a Umezawa's Jitai, and that card just wins games all on its own.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
And especially if he's, locking down. He's locking you down with Phyrexian Revokers, Aethersworn Canonist. Who is this? Grand Abolisher? That's actually pretty cool.
Grand Abolisher.
It's a 2/2 for 2. It's from looks like a commander set. It says, during your turn, your opponents can't cast spells or activate abilities of artifacts, creatures,
or... Wow.
It shuts you down.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah, so hopefully he starts doing better with this deck. And I know it's week one. Hopefully week two, he tunes it up a little bit and wrecks house.
I think if he hits the right matchups, he's in really good shape here. Seems like a sweet list.
Yep.
Awesome. All right, well, before we get out of here, I wanted you guys to kind of get a chance to let the listeners know where they can reach you if they have questions about the league or, questions about you guys personally. Maybe they want to find out how the hell they can beat Hex Steps. So, so Danny, where can they find you? I know we have a page on Twitter. I'm sorry, on Facebook.
Yeah. Yep, there's a Facebook page. It's www.facebook.com/CommunityLegacyLeague. They can also... follow the league on Twitter at MTG Legacy League. And you can find me directly on Twitter at Bobo Fraggles.
We'll get to the etymology behind that name someday.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask about that. What about you, Tom? Where can they find you, man?
I'm pretty much in the Stone Age when it comes to this stuff. So it's either Tom Hepp on Facebook or Negator77 on either Magic Online or The Source. That's basically it.
Awesome. All right, well, you can find me at Pat Ugel on Twitter. You can find me streaming the Legacy League every Wednesday at 8:30 Eastern. It's twitch.tv/PatUglow. You can find me on the Leaving Legacy Facebook page as well. So, yeah, if you guys want to talk about Legacy, that's a great place to check it out, too. And anything else before we sign out here, guys?
No, I think I'm good to go. Just, if you would, please come check out the Community Legacy League. The only requirement to play is you do have to make an account on Gatherling.com. And, there's all kinds of tournaments on there, too, not just the Legacy League. There's a Vintage event. There's Pauper, all kinds of stuff. So just come check it out.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for everyone for hanging out. And we'll catch you guys, 2 weeks, we think?
Yeah. Hopefully this will come out every 2 weeks. All right, guys. Good night.